This is a podcast from Ken Barron at the National Association of Black and White Men Together. The topic for this podcast is queers, intimacy, and movies. Many years ago, I remember the movie The Breakfast Club and the antics of the teens as they have shown out their stories, basically the coming out stories. The characters rebelled against authority, as many of you have done in the past, perhaps. Though they did this, they ultimately decided they needed to get ready for adulthood. The queer teen has been a resurgence of lately, especially in movies, and the recent one, Love, Simon, shows homosexuality as no big deal for the well-off folks in affluent areas. But that is not as simple in less tolerant communities as depicted in Boy Erased. And the same goes for Moonlight and Call Me By Your Name. Queer teens now seem to face a future that is uncertain, both sexually and financially. This drift into adulthood may be different and perhaps frightening. This gay teen apprehension is such that they may wish to keep gayness a secret during the high school. But with the notions and actions and portrayals of gays, it is easier to be outed way before the choice is made in doing so. Then there are the conversion therapy movies that harness a US puritanical and religious bent to suppress and damn the victims. In Boy Erased, the hero has a religious family and he suppresses his sexuality. He is outed and reminds us that coming out is a change which brings out concepts of erasing homosexuality before it gets worse and can lead to hack therapies that do not work or even harm the patient. And yet, after graduation, these incidents can follow us. Thus, beatings and bullyings at school and in the community goes on, and there are a few tender moments in the movies, such as the ones in Moonlight. So, gay teens may or may not morph into a new sexual self and may leave scars. These movies paint a veneer of gloss on teen life to make them acceptable to a wider audience. We are not in a harsh and true spotlight yet. And then there are the current real concerns about these young people that are launching their sex lives later, having sex less frequently than previous generations. I blogged on this issue of intimacy previously. So what does this mean for us? Consider this: we hook up because we have no social skills. We have no social skills because we hook up. This is a great concept considering the availability of dating apps and sex in the movies. But teens are having less sex. The CDC says high school rate of sex dropped from 54 to 40% from 1991 to 2017. Teen pregnancy has also dropped. As a baby boomer, apparently, I had more sex than teens today. Hard to imagine. That's amazing. Then I read that more and more young people are living with their parents and that people living with a romantic partner have more sex. This adds to the puzzle of why less sex. Is this, as it's called, sex recession because of electronic devices, economic anxiety, low testosterone, or sexual identity getting stronger? As a gay man, I have witnessed a huge change in what is sanctioned or not. Much of it is to the good. But does this suggest that gay men don't need to reinforce their right to sex? Interestingly, declines in intercourse frequency seem to occur with rising rates of masturbation. This sex for one is a trend. Japan seems to be the harbinger of this, inasmuch as there is a generation that found the imperfect or just unexpected demands of real-world relationships with women less entitling than the lure of the virtual libido online. Japan is amongst the world's top producers and consumers of porn. Many younger people see porn as just one more online activity. So therefore, relieving stress is related to their sex life, or lack thereof, in as much the same way social media and binge-watching TV are. Meanwhile, a survey of more than 20,000 college students that was conducted from 2005 to 2011, which found the median number of hookups over a four-year college career to be 5, a third of what involved only kissing and touching. The majority of students surveyed said they wished that they had more opportunities to find a long-term boyfriend or girlfriend. It seems that parents contribute to this concern with increasing anxiety, and the anxiety is about their children's educational and economic prospects and what's expected of teens. And remember, you probably learned sex in unstructured play with friends, which is less available nowadays. Back to this hookup culture with its lack of relationship culture. Does this cause a lack of social skills? And do young people even think that sex with relationships could even be wrong, since it requires commitment and the loss of their careers? Perhaps they think that sex is second to economic needs. When Grindr or Tinder didn't exist, nor did iPhones, people were not particularly eager to get into serious relationships right away, but wanted to have sex. They would go to bars and maybe strike out. With these apps, matching was the beginning. It was messaging. In reality, unless you're exceptionally good looking, this thing online dating may be the best at sucking up a large amount of time. So why do people continue to use dating apps? Why shouldn't we boycott them? It seems that meeting someone offline seems like less and less of an option and is the emerging cultural reality. No one approaches anyone in public anymore. These dating apps could be inefficiently hooking people up, but are so popular since people appear to be using them as a diversion with limited expectations of meeting up in person. Many use dating apps because, let's be clear, there is a date that can occur and they are sexually interested in one another. If it doesn't work out, when that's okay, that's fine. But of interest, sexual minorities, for example, tend to use online dating services at a much higher rate than do straight people. Research by Michael Rosenfeld at Stanford finds that, quote, unpartnered gay men and unpartnered lesbians seem to have substantially more active dating lives than do heterosexuals. This is a fact he attributes partly to the successful use of app by these minorities. Many online pursuers try out of their league, as it were. Few of the messages are returned, and even fewer lead to in-person contact. The experience could be bewildering, undermining, and even painful. And then there's the question of nudity. Research shows that millennials don't like to get naked. So everyone under 30 has underwear under their towels when they go to the gym, for example. They are prudish in person, but digitally nonchalant. With this body dissatisfaction, a study has found that amongst men, frequency of pornography viewing was associated with concern about penis size. How people feel about their genitals predicts sexual functioning, and somewhere between 20 and 25% of people, perhaps influenced by porn, feel negatively about their bodies. If you don't want your partner to see you getting out of the shower, how is oral sex going to work? Research confirms that a healthy sex life contributes to a happy one. Having sex is associated not only with happiness, but with a slew of other health benefits. In addition, not having a partner, sexual or romantic, can be both a cause and an effect of discontent. Like economic recessions, the so-called sex recession will probably play out in ways that are uneven and unfair. Those that have many things going for them, good looks, money, psychological resilience, and strong social networks, continue to be well positioned to find love and have good sex. These heartbreaking changes in the way many people were relating or not relating to one another is discouraging. Sex seems to be more difficult now. Maybe we will rethink some of these things, including the dysfunctional relationships so many of us have with our phones and social media, to the detriment of our relationships with each other as humans. The source of this was The Atlantic magazine, December 2018. This is Ken Barron. I'm with the National Association of Black and White Men Together. You can get our podcasts on iTunes or wherever you pick up your podcast. We are at nabwmt.org. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and you can contact us on our website and at the chapters around the nation. Thank you for listening. This is Ken Barron signing off.